Look this Christmas at John 3:16, the extreme verse in the entire Bible. It's the greatest verse in the entire Bible. And if we could get John 3:16 up on the screen, I don't think any of us really need it. Or you can look on your outline. I want to ask everybody to stand, and I want us to say John 3:16 together. Let's start by saying John 3:16. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Thank you. You may be seated. John 3:16 explains the reason, the purpose for Christmas, and explains how to get to heaven. The entire Bible is summarized in that one verse, John 3:16. If you only get one verse, I hope you get all the verses of the Bible and you read every verse in the Bible, but if you were to only get one verse in the entire Bible, if you understand John 3:16, if you get it, you will make it. You'll make it to heaven, and you will make it the way God wants you to make it, because John 3:16 is the gospel. John 3:16 is the good news in a nutshell. It is the extreme verse of the Bible, and I want to tear this verse apart phrase by phrase as we look at it today, and I want to give you four-letter words from John 3:16 that are extreme. There's the extreme love of God. There's the extreme seed, C-E-D-E, God's sacrifice. He gave over the extreme sacrifice that God gave. The extreme deal that is offered to every single person in all the world. And then, of course, the extreme gift that comes from God. First of all, let's look at the extreme love of God. For God so loved the world. That little word, so. You know, sometimes I forget to tell my wife, I tell her I love her, but I forget to say, I so love you. Many times we don't put that word in there, but it means intensity. It means that God loves us with a great intensity. The love of God is extravagant. The love of God is lavish. The love of God is eternal. It is unconditional. And you know what? No man will ever love you as much as God loves you. And no woman will ever love you as much as God loves you. And there are hundreds of verses in the Bible about the love of God, but I want to just look at a few this morning. First of all, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. This verse says, long before He, God, laid down earth's foundations, God had us in mind and settled on us as the focus of His love. Did you know that? You are the focus of the love of God. It says that before God even made the universe, He already had you in mind. And He loved you at that point. And the only reason you exist today is that you were created to be loved by God. Did you know that's your purpose? Your whole purpose in life, the reason God created you was so that He could love you. And God planned the universe so that you could exist because God wanted a family. And God wanted to love you in that family. I remember back a few years ago when Chris was carrying our children, and each time she was with child, I didn't. Back in that time, you didn't know if it was a boy or a girl. You just, you got what came. But I loved those children in the womb. I loved those children, all of my children, before they were born. And the same thing with my grandchildren. But God loved you long before He created the universe, long before He created you. And not only does God love you every minute, look at the next verse, Psalm 145, verses 9 and 10. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all His creation. Now, I'm so glad that that verse doesn't say God only loves people who are in a certain religion. That verse does not say that God only loves a certain nation. That verse does not say that God only loves a certain kind of people. It says that the Lord is good to everyone, and He showers His compassion on all His creation. Everything in your life and in my life is a gift of God. Have you ever thought about that? Everything that you have is a gift of God. There are some things in my life that I don't thank God often enough, and you probably don't either. And maybe you've never even thought about thanking God for things like air. You know, that's a gift from God. What would happen if God pulled the air out? You know, we'd stop breathing. You know, water is a gift of God. And our bodies are made up of 90% water. And that comes from God. It's a gift of God. The sunshine, the food, all of these things are a gift of God. Your heart and my heart is beating because that is a gift of God. And you couldn't take your next breath if God hadn't planned for you to take it because He loves you. Now, everything in your life is a gift from God. Whether you ever recognize it or not, it is a gift of God. And you and I, maybe we need to be a little bit more grateful for all the things in our lives that God has given us, including the life that we have. So God's love for you is eternal. And God's love for you is literally everywhere. But the most important thing is God's love is unconditional. That is so important for us to understand. That's so important for us to take into our heart because human love is not like that. Human love is based on condition. If you do certain things, then I will love you. Or if I do certain things, then you will love me. God loves us regardless of what we do. God loves us regardless of who we are. God loves us regardless of what we say. There is no condition where God will ever stop loving you. Now, that is called unconditional love. And here's what it says in Romans 8:39. Nothing in all of God's creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Now, you may try, but you can't make God stop loving you. That's different from human love. If you try it, you're going to fail at it because His love is not based on your performance. It's not based on who you are. It is based on who He is. And it's based on what He has done, not on what you've done. And so God's love is unconditional, it's extravagant, it's lavish. And God wanted to say to you, He brought us here today, and the message that God has for us is, I love you. The message of Christmas, the message of the entire Bible is, I love you, and I have always loved you. I loved you even before you knew you existed. I thought you up. I created you. I saw you, and I was there when you took your first breath. I saw you when you were being formed in your mother's womb. I've seen the good, the bad, and all the rest in your life, and I've never stopped loving you because my love for you is unconditional. But not only is it unconditional, God's love is multidimensional. Look in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 to 19. And this is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says, may you be able to feel, not just to feel God's love, I want you to feel His love, but to understand the love of God. How long His love is and how wide it is and how deep and how high God's love really is, and experience this love for yourselves. Notice that God says, I don't want you just to know that I love you. I want you to feel it. I want you to understand it. And if somebody tells you about the love of God, or you've read about the love of God, and you say, oh yeah, I know God loves me, and big deal, so what? If that's your attitude toward the love of God, you've never experienced the love of God. You have never felt the love of God, and you don't understand it. And because when you experience the unconditional, eternal, lavish, outrageous love of God, it changes your life. If you just say, oh yeah, I know God loves me, you don't really understand it. You just have a head knowledge of it. You don't have a heart knowledge. You don't really feel the love of God and understand it. You haven't experienced it for yourself. This is my prayer for you, that you will understand, that you will feel, that you will experience, you will understand the love of God. And God says, I want you to know how wide and long and how high and how deep my love is. How long is God's love? Well, we've already said it. God's love is long enough to last forever. How wide is God's love? God's love is wide enough to be everywhere you're going to be in your life. That's how wide His love is. How deep is the love of God? God's love is deep enough to handle any problem that you have. Think of your greatest problem today. and how deep and despair are the pits that you may be in because of that problem. God's love goes deeper still. How high is God's love? It's high enough to overcome any barrier in your life. God can overcome a barrier of job loss or the loss of a friend, the loss of a loved one, the loss of the barrier of cancer. God can overcome any barrier, the loss of the death of a family member, a divorce or whatever. God's love is higher and it can overcome those barriers in your life. We're talking about extreme love when we talk about Christmas and when we talk about John 3:16. But not only that, we're talking about extreme seed, C-E-D-E. It means that God gave us His Son. He gave over His Son. He surrendered His Son to be crucified on the cross for us. It says in this next phrase in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He so loved the world that He sacrificed His Son. He so loved the world that He handed His Son over to be crucified. And God so loved that He gave. Did you know that love and giving go together? Giving is the essence of love. And you spell love G-I-V-E. And the Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to come to earth to die for us. Now that is extreme. Have you ever heard the expression, and I heard it not too long ago once again, but the expression is, if you want to do something, or if you want something done right, you need to do it yourself. You've probably heard that expression. Well, that's what God did. God wanted this to be done right. So He came and He did it Himself. He wanted to solve the sin problem on earth. And He said, I'm going to go myself and die for the forgiveness of sins for everyone. Did you know that I'm so glad it doesn't say that God so loved the world that He sent an avatar? I'm glad it doesn't say that God so loved the world that He sent an angel. I'm glad it doesn't say that God so loved the world that He sent an ambassador or He sent a prophet or He sent a guy or He sent a poet. It doesn't say God so loved the world that He sent a great teacher or a telegram. It says that God so loved the world that He sent His only Son. Now, who was His Son? Who was this baby in a manger 2,010 years ago? This was God. That baby was God in human form. Notice what the Bible says, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Now, why did God come to this earth in human form? God came to this earth in human form because He wanted to say something to human beings. He wanted to say something to you and to me and to all of us. And if you ever want to know what God looks like, take a long look at Jesus. And Jesus said this, anyone who has seen Me has seen the Father. You know, it's a wonderful thing that God didn't say. I'm so glad that God didn't say, I'll meet you halfway. I'm coming to this, you know, I want to do something for you, but I'll meet you halfway. You got to get halfway to heaven on your own. I'm so glad God didn't say that. God came all the way. And He didn't say, I'll meet you halfway about your problem. He said, I'm going to come to earth and I'm going to become like one of you. And Jesus came to earth and God came to earth in human form, in the form of Jesus, to do several things. These are not necessarily in any order, but one of the things Jesus came to do is to show us what God's really like. Another thing he came to do is to tell us the truth and to show us the way and to show us how to live a model life. But the number one thing Jesus came to earth at Christmas to do was Jesus came to die. Jesus was born to die for your sins, to die for our sins. And the Bible says this, God put His love on the line for us. In other words, He put His money where His mouth is. He just didn't say, I love you. He showed He loved us by offering His Son in sacrificial death. This is the sacrifice He did. While we were of no use whatever to Him. Jesus didn't have to die for me. Jesus didn't have to die for you. God wasn't obligated to die on the cross for us. He did it because He loves us. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, why did He do that? Why did He have to do that? There's a real simple reason for it. God wants us to be in heaven with Him. God wants you to be in heaven with Him when you die. But heaven is a perfect place. I don't know if you realize this or not, but you're not. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But heaven is a perfect place. There is nothing imperfect in heaven. And that means there is no sin in heaven. And so unless something changes inside of me, unless something changes inside of you, we're not going to make it to heaven. If God took us on to heaven the way we are, without changing us, heaven would no longer be a perfect place. Heaven would be no different than earth. It would be filled with all of our lust. It would be filled with all of our judgments, all of our pettiness, all of our self-centeredness, with all of our other sins. Heaven would be no different than earth. So how do imperfect people get into eternal heaven, perfect heaven? Somebody has to do a transformation process. And Jesus said, I'll do it. I'll go to earth and I'll die for their sins. I'll pay for them all so they don't have to pay for them. And they can get in on my ticket. I told you about this a couple of years ago, but I read a Christmas letter that was written to Santa. It was a Christmas letter from this little boy. And this little boy said, Dear Santa, there are three little boys who live in our house. There's Jeffrey, he's two. There's David, he's four. There's Norman, he's seven. Jeffrey's good some of the time. David's good some of the time. But Norman is good all the time. I am Norman. Now that's the problem. None of us are Normans. None of us are good all of the time. And the reason why we need a Savior is we are not good. We're imperfect. We're sinners. We're sinful. And we've all fallen short of God's glorious idea. And none of us are perfect. We need a Savior. We need a Savior. The Bible says at the first Christmas, the angel said, Unto you is born this day a Savior. Savior who can get you into heaven, who is Christ the Lord. What was going on there when Jesus was hanging on the cross, dying for the sins of man? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, when Jesus served as a sacrifice for our sins, He solved, listen to this, He solved the sin problem for good. Not only our sin problem, but the sin problem of the whole world has been solved when Jesus died on the cross. That's good news. That is extreme. That is the greatest sacrifice. Why did He do it? Because He loves us. And He wants us in His family. And He wants us in heaven. But it's perfect. And we're not. And I think about all of my grandchildren, we got grandsons, and little Deacon here recently, been with him at some carnivals, and just riding the rides and all, and at some of those rides we thought, well, Deacon could do pretty good on this ride, and especially if one of us went with him, if G Daddy went with him, he'd be all right. But it has on there, you have to be this tall, and Deacon's only about this tall. And so we plead, I'll be with him, I'll hold him. No, no pleading, no begging. We'll get him higher and taller so that he can get on that ride. And that's the way it is getting into heaven. There is that line. You've got to be this tall to get into heaven. And nobody is that tall. We all need a Savior. We all fall short. So it was God's plan that He took the sinless Christ and poured into Him our sins. Then in exchange, He poured God's goodness into us. And that's the only chance I have of getting into heaven. It's the only chance you have of getting into heaven. Jesus makes up the difference. His righteousness takes care of all of us. So, what really happens? He showed us His extreme love by giving an extreme sacrifice for our sins. And then the third thing in this verse of John 3:16, we see the extreme deal. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. What an incredible deal at Christmas. You know, do you get mail like I do, where they want you to buy Christmas gifts through the mail? Do you look inside the newspapers where they say, well, we've got these incredible deals, and if you take some time and you add up all of the savings that they say that you'll get, if you'll buy this gift, if you'll take this deal, all of the savings you'll have, you'll get tens of thousands of dollars in savings. But the problem is you have to spend hundreds of thousands to get tens of thousands. And so it really is not that good of a deal, because I can't afford that, those tens of thousands of dollars of savings. But on the other hand, God has a deal for every one of us at Christmas. It's a Christmas deal that you can't afford not to accept. It is the deal, it is the offer to save you, to save you. For He says, unto you is born this day a Savior, and whoever believes in Him should not perish. Notice a couple of things about that. First, who is the deal for? Whosoever. You see that? Whosoever. That means anybody. And in Titus 2, in verse 11, the free gift of eternal salvation is now being offered to everyone. Everyone. There's no mention of religion here. It doesn't say that this is only a deal for a certain religion or a certain group of people or a certain nation. It says this is a deal for everyone. It's being offered to everyone. The free gift of eternal salvation is offered to everyone. Acts chapter 10, verse 35. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and you're ready to do as He says, the door is open. It's all about whoever believes in Him shall not perish. It says God says it's about what I've done for you, not what God wants you to do for Him. It's amazing grace, somebody said, for every race. Jesus is an equal opportunity Savior. It's for all people, everywhere. And so that means you. You say, well, Pastor, I want to accept that gift this Christmas. How do I do that? How do I accept this deal? Whoever believes in Him shall not perish. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, there's a little problem with that verse. The problem is understanding what Lord means, because we have presidents, not lords and kings and queens and vassals and serfs and all those kinds of things. And so what would be a modern comparison to the lordship of Jesus Christ? Basically, when you say that Jesus is Lord, the best description of that is that you're saying that over my life, I'm putting a sign that says, under new management. And now I am being managed by the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm opening my life to Christ. And before I opened my life to Christ, I was managing my own life. And I wasn't doing a very good job of it. And because I was managing my own life, I kept hitting a bunch of dead ends. And I kept having a bunch of broken relationships, and I had a lot of worries, and I had a lot of stress, and I had a lot of difficulty, and I had a lot of regrets in my life, and I had a lot of unnecessary tension in my life, and I really wasn't quite sure what my purpose in life was, because I was managing my own life. And then at one point, at Big Spring Baptist Church, on December 5th, 2010, I said, time out, time out. I'm not doing a very good job of managing my own life. I think I'm going to go with God, because God created me, and God loves me, and God knows me, and He knows what's going to make me happy more than I do. And God sent His Son to die on the cross for me, and He wants me to live with Him in heaven. I think I'll let God be the manager of my life. That's what it means to confess Jesus as Lord. You're under new management. That's what it means to say that. It says if you'll do that, if you'll say that, and then if you will believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Notice it doesn't say believe it in your head. It says believe it in your heart. Why? Because you can have it in your head. You can believe it in your head, but until it drops to your heart, it does not change your life. But when you get it in your heart, when you get Jesus Christ in your heart, then you are excited about Him and He changes your life. And everything about you is different. And you believe in Him. What does it mean to believe? The word here in Greek is the original translation is pistuo. It means to trust in. It means to cling to. It means to rely on. It means to have a relationship with. That's what God wants. God wants a relationship with you. You know, I know about a lot of people. I know a lot of famous people. I know about them. I don't know them. If I were to ask you, do you know somebody famous, and you'd know him, and you might say, yeah, I know that person. But what you mean is you know their name. You don't know deep down inside what's going on in their heart. You don't know them intimately. But God is saying, I want you to know me intimately. And you can know me intimately and in a close relationship. And I've developed a friendship with God, and I can hear God speak to me in my heart and in my head, and I can talk to Him, and you can do that too. Now, what did Jesus come to do? Jesus said, I did not come to judge the world, but I came to save the world. Now, that's different in the way a lot of people think about Jesus. That's different in the way that a lot of people think about God. A lot of people think that God is just up there in heaven waiting till you mess up so that He can judge you. So that God can do something to you. So that God is mad at you. But it says that whosoever believes in Him, that is the extreme gift. I did not come to judge the world, but I came to save the world. And that is God's extreme gift to us. Now many years, Big Spring Baptist Church has existed some 97 years. Big Spring Baptist Church has a rich heritage of adults, and boys and girls, men and women coming and confessing Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. And many, many over the years have stepped across the line and they have said, I'm becoming a part of the family of God. I want Jesus Christ in my life. You can do that too. You can do that today. The greatest verse, the most extreme verse in the entire Bible, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but the fourth thing, but have eternal life. The extreme gift. That's the extreme gift. You know, you get a lot of Christmas gifts, and you're probably going to get some that's not going to last 6 days, much less 6 weeks or 60 years. Some of your gifts, probably most of your gifts, you won't even remember next year what you got. You don't remember what you got last year. This is a gift that will last forever. It's eternal life. That means it never ends. And you say, well, does that mean I get to go to heaven? Oh, yeah. It involves heaven. But eternal life is far more than just duration. It involves donation. It's quality of life. In fact, there are three parts to eternal life. It begins the moment you open your heart to God. You get your past forgiven, and you get a purpose for the present, and you get a home in heaven for the future. And so you get it's three-dimensional. Your past sins are forgiven. They're wiped out. They're taken away. It is a free gift of God, and it is what Christmas is all about. You know why we give gifts at Christmas? Sometimes people ask me, why do we give gifts at Christmas? Well, we give gifts at Christmas because we're following the example of God and we're remembering the most extreme gift that God gave to us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But how silly would it be to go Christmas after Christmas after Christmas and never open your biggest gift? You've got all these little gifts down here in the front and there's this huge, gigantic gift behind them. And you open up all of these little gifts and you never open up the biggest gift. The biggest gift is the gift of eternal life. And today, you can open that gift. You don't have to wait till December 25th. You can open it today. And the Bible says because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. He says, I want to give you these things. Past forgiven. Present, you have a purpose. Future, you have a home in heaven. And not only that, you become a part of the family of God. God's unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. I want to say something here. I've said it before, but I want to say it again. I want you to follow me real closely on this. Everybody in the world is created by God. Everybody in the world is loved by God. But not, now listen, this is important. Not everybody in the world is in the family of God. That is a choice that you must make. God left it that way. God says, I'm not going to force myself on you. I'm not going to make you become my child. You choose that. And if you've never chosen that, you're not in the family of God. But I want to ask you a question. What would keep you from accepting this biggest gift? This most extreme gift? Well, maybe it's fear. Maybe it's fear and saying, well, I've got some doubts about the Bible. There's some things in the Bible I don't understand. Well, let me let you in on a clue. There's some things in the Bible I don't understand. I understand more things in the Bible than I did the day I invited Jesus to be my Savior and my Lord. I had a lot of doubts and fears then. Maybe you've got some doubts and fears about the Bible. But you know what? That didn't stop me from enjoying a relationship with Christ. There's not a single other area in your life where you have to have everything figured out before you enjoy that benefit. You know, you get on planes all the time, some of you. You probably, a lot of you that get on planes, you probably don't understand the principle of aerodynamics completely. You know, I don't understand internal combustion, but it doesn't stop me from driving a car. And I don't understand the chemistry of digestion or taste buds, but it doesn't stop me from eating a steak or a piece of chicken. How about if I said, I'm never going to eat again because I don't understand digestion? You know, that's not going to happen. But how about if you said that? You don't have to understand it all. You just have to enjoy what you've got, and over time, you'll begin to understand it better and better. And one of my favorite stories in the Bible is where this guy comes to Jesus one day, and he's just an honest guy, and he goes, Lord, my daughter's sick. And she really needs to be healed. And Jesus looks at the guy and he says, do you believe I can heal her? And I love this guy because he's so honest and authentic. And he says, I want to believe. Help me with my doubts. And what a classic answer that was. He said, I want to believe. Lord Jesus, help me with my doubts. And Jesus says, that's good enough. And bam, Jesus healed his daughter. Did you know that you could say that today? To the Lord Jesus, it is a gift that has been under every single one of your Christmas trees and will be under your Christmas tree this Christmas, and it will be everywhere, whether it's under your, whether you recognize it, but you've just never unwrapped it. It's the gift of salvation. The gift of salvation. And you can say, Lord, I've got some doubts, but I want to believe. And Jesus will say, that's good enough. But another reason that may keep you from accepting this Christmas gift is you've been hurt. Somebody's hurt you. Somebody said some words to you that really cut deep. And you begin to build up walls around yourself and you say, I'm never going to let any woman hurt me. I'm never going to let any man hurt me. I'm never again going to let anybody get close to me. And I'm not going to get suckered in anymore. And we build up these walls and sometimes we even build up barriers against God. And I want to say to you, God has not hurt you. God does not hurt you. People hurt you. Sinners hurt you. And you say, well, I have a friend who died in the war. And so you get mad at God. God didn't cause that. Most of what happens in our world today is not the will of God. That's why Jesus told us to pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because most of the things that happen are my will and your will and the will of other sinful people and all the problems. And God's going, why are you doing that to yourselves? Why do you hurt each other in your marriage? Why do you hurt each other in your businesses? Why do you betray your friend? Why do you hurt each other at church? Maybe you've been hurt at church. Maybe you've been hurt even by Big Spring Baptist Church at some point. And if you have, I want to say, as pastor of this church, I'm sorry. And I believe that is truly the heart of the people and the members of this church. If you have ever been hurt by this church, we are truly sorry for that. Please forgive us. And we're sorry that you've been hurt. But let me, as a pastor, give you some friendly advice. Never let the sins of other people keep you from God. Don't ever do that. That's stupid. God didn't hurt you. But don't ever let the sins of others keep you from Him. Last Christmas, a famous department store put on their bags this phrase, a million reasons to believe. That's interesting. At Christmas, to say a million reasons to believe. The truth is, you don't need a million reasons to believe. You only need one. To believe that God loves you and that He died for you on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin, and He did it all because He loved you. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Right now, God is ready to welcome you. Today, He's ready to save you. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Father, I want to pray for those that You're speaking to their hearts right now, that in this moment, that there is nothing that will distract them from saying yes to Jesus. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. I've listened to the message. I've listened to John 3:16, and Lord, I believe that You love me, that this is talking about me, Lord, and I want to ask You to come in to my life. I don't understand all about You, Lord, but in faith, I'm asking You to forgive me of all my sins. And I want to say, Lord, thank You for dying for my sins on the cross so that I could ask You for forgiveness today. And from this day forward, Lord, I receive You into my life and I receive You as my Lord, that my life now is under new management. Lord, I resign as the general manager of my life and I ask You to now be the manager. I will follow You and I will do whatever You say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to sing a song of invitation. And those Sunday school classes that are going to pray, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar and begin to pray during our invitation time. Others who want to come and pray, join them. I want to invite you to do that. If God spoke to your heart today and you pray that prayer to invite Him into your life, it's important that you let others know about it. I want to ask you to come forward. I'm going to be standing here at the front and tell me, I invited Jesus to come into my life today. I've accepted His Christmas gift to me, and I want you to know about that, Pastor. Would you come as we sing together?
One child is there who thank you.
going to receive our offering at this time. And if you filled out one of those welcome cards earlier that...